are able to see on the on Facebook that you're arriving even there. Amen. And so welcome to our first time guest. Amen. It's a good way to start our church service. Give me a good amen. Welcome to Living Faith Church. We're people that have problems. And just like Ricky testified, we're broken people, but God's with us. Right, everybody? And if you're able to check in on your mobile devices right now, your social media, and just say, I'm at Living Faith Church, maybe take a snapshot of your message notes. Say, this is what I'm going to be doing. You can do that or take a selfie if you like that. Your camera's not broken yet, so you're going to be alive, you know, and that sort of thing. And if you need message notes, raise your hand high. Raise your hand high. We want 100% participation. We have people all the way over here. Maybe that side can get some message notes because we have one usher doing a bunch of work today. And you look good in pink also. Is that cool with everybody? Yeah? We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as you gather, grow, and go. And we want to welcome again our Facebook Live audience. Let's welcome them. Come on, give them a big hand. There they came. Hey, I only want to remind you this if you're watching on Facebook Live. If you're in the San Antonio area, our leadership, along with my wife and myself, we want to make sure that you know that you can come to this church. We'd welcome you with open arms. If you belong to a local church, we want you to be faithful to that local church. God's not calling you out of that local church to come to this local church if you already are faithful there. You belong there. God's planted you there. Get to know your pastor. Be a blessing there, right, everybody? But if you don't have a church, this could be your church, and you'd meet the best people in the whole wide world. Amen. I mean that with all my heart. Give me a good amen. Amen. We're doing a Light the Night outreach, and it's full on. Amen. We thank God on Halloween night, which the world celebrates, but I believe the church doesn't have to celebrate it. Right, everybody? Amen. But we can be a point of light in darkness. Give me a good amen. Amen. Everybody listening to me on this one? It's important. Luis, it's good to see you, man. I've been praying for you. You're my miracle this morning, amen, along with everybody else. But look what God brought to us in this house. And so Light the Night is just an outreach event that some of our leaders came up with, and they're going to go all out. Some of them are going to have that canopy out, and they're going to put lights around it. Some will be like the Navas, and we'll just have probably some business cards that are inviting people to Living Faith, and then maybe some candy. Everybody needs some candy. It's a track. So 78227, according to what I know on stats and percentages, we have the most children in most under 10 years old. And so they're right in our neighborhood. They're going to be with their moms and dads walking around looking like Jason, looking like Freddy. Is that okay? And the light of God will pierce darkness because we love people. We don't run and hide in our homes. We come out and we say, God loves people. Amen. If they're out there, amen, we might as well go fishing. Give me a good amen. We're just using different bait. And we just want to welcome people and say, hey, is there any way we can pray for you and do that? And that leads me to my second point. And I didn't bring any with me, but you know where there are, right on the outsides of our doors are setups that we have that are True Life cards. On the front of them, they'll say, you're invited to Living Faith Church. It gives our information. And then on the back of it, it says this. This is how you invite. And Analia did this so effectively probably about 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. She said, I'd like to invite you to my church. And on the back, there's answers to life hard questions. God bless you. And she was able to do that. If a 12-year-old or 10, maybe 9-year-old child can give away 22 cards with that script, what can you do? You can give out one. Hey, before I ask you right now to be real honest and not lie in church, nobody wants to lie in church, right, everybody? How about this week? I'm going to give out one card, and I'm going to use that script. I'd like to invite you to my church. And on the back of these cards is a website that you can go to called truelife.org. And you go to it, and it's professionally done, and it answers life's hard questions. I wasn't as smooth as I was during the first service because my mouth needed adjustment. But if you can do that, don't lie in church, but I want to see your hands if you'll invite one person to church by taking a card. Is that anybody? Because don't lie in church, but you're doing it before the Lord, right? Lord, we're going to invite one person to church by using this method. And it's an incredible method because you know what happens? Usually because we've invited so many people to church by, man, do you know that if you die, you're going to go straight to hell without Jesus? How's that message working out for you? But if you do something of life that causes them to respond and they can go to a website that answers questions about, I had an abortion when I was, there was an abortion that I did, and what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, it's going to show them that God still forgives them. What about homosexuality? Well, God's word is against homosexuality, but he's not against you. He loves you still. You see how it's a life-giving message, right? And we bring life to people. So this week, those that lifted their hands, I took a snapshot of you in my head. I'm going to remember you. And the other people that didn't raise their hands, for some reason, I didn't see you. Amen. Give me a good amen. And so, amen. Praise the Lord. So let's do that this week. We're in God's love language, part two, part three. And we'll go two more weeks. And I know the Lord will bless you on this series. I wanted to give you a funny story because we sure need some laughter in this church, right, everybody? And so this man is minding his own business. Can I bring Porfulio into the story? Porfulio, man, he's minding his own business, reading his paper at home. And his wife comes up to him. And all of a sudden, she hits him in the forehead with a fly swatter. Boom! And you know, so she leaves a red imprint, and it's like throbbing. She says, "Why did you do that, vieja?" He tells her. And she replies, "Because I found the piece of paper in your pocket, and the name Marianne was on it." He said, "No, that was a horse. Remember, I went to the horse track, and I bet on Marianne. He was horse number 5, and I bet on the local track." He says, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she wrinkles up the paper and throws it away. She says, "I'm so sorry I hit you in the forehead." So 2 days later, she comes back and bam, he's reading the paper again. But bam, she hits him with a frying pan in the head, on top of the head. Frying pan this time. He knocks to the ground and this thing starts boom, boom, popping up like the... and he goes, "Why did you do that?" She said, "Because your horse called." Yeah. When people want to get your attention, do they have to use a fly swatter? Yeah. How about a skillet? When God wants to get the attention of your heart, how does he do it? And I don't want God to ever have to hit us with a frying pan, and he won't because he loves you that much, but he will get our attention. God still speaks, but we have this hearing problem we've discovered. And he's a personal God. Well, God's so personal, you know, he knows I did this and he's mad at me. I know he's mad because of what I did last night. God is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. He's a God of redemption. He speaks to you because he wants to facilitate friendship with you. He wants to give you guidance in your life today. He wants to provide his perspective in your life if you're listening to his voice. Can I make a bold statement right now? Good. I was going to do it whether you said yes or no. Amen. So... There are keys to finding out your destiny in life and your purpose in life. Because God's voice is love, you'll have love if you hear his voice. Because God's love is guidance, you'll have God's love is God's voice is healing, you'll have healing if you're hearing his voice. God's voice is wisdom, you'll have wisdom and direction if you're hearing. But you got to hear his voice, right, everybody? And so culture is saying all these things, and we just turn down culture, and we turn down that noise of the world, and we say, "Lord, I want to hear your voice this day." Amen. The most significant, purposeful things in my life have happened when I hear God's whisper in my life. When I hear it, and I respond to it, I follow, and I listen to God. And the same thing in your life you're going to discover. Why does God speak? God speaks to people just like you and me. Even further away, you might say, "Well, there are no candidates. At least I go to the 10:30 service at Living Faith Church. I came to church on Sunday." God speaks to people that are the least likely. He spoke to a virgin girl, probably 15 years old in Jewish culture 2,000 years ago. And this angel is speaking. And he says to Mary, he said, the virgin will conceive and give birth, about that whole story and that scenario. And they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means God is with you today. My hope for every heart in this room is that God would speak to you in a very personal way today. God enables his friendship. I'm God's friend. Yes, you're God's friend. Did you know that? God has friends and you're part of his friendship circle today. In the book of Exodus 11, it spoke that Moses had this deep friendship with God, that the Lord would speak to him face to face, as one speaks to a. There was a few weeks ago, I was riding my bike and just trying to get some miles in on my bike before it started to rain again. And I'm able to take off when I'm by myself and I pray more, of course, and I get in this zone, and just it's nice. It's just me and Jesus. I tell him about all my things. I have a list, you know, prayer just like you do. I list my family, of course, my wife, the children, they come next. And then I just pray for the situation. And God speaks to me in such a rich way. But this time, something different began to happen. It was almost like I heard the whisper of God saying, I got that because you're here with me. And I started enjoying the trees that I was running by. I started enjoying just the physical, the presence of just God in the air and feeling that and just enjoying a relationship with God because he showed up at that moment. And I do believe in lists. I have them. But God wants a relationship. Because if all I came to you and gave you this bullet point list about check, 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 did you do this and that, that wouldn't be much of a relationship if Irma and I were married and that's all we did, right? But God wants a relationship. Like you have friends, you have family, you got to go beyond that. Amen. God, you're so important to me. And you're important to me, Mario, he would speak back. And God, thank you for your life and my life. And you've been good to me, right, everybody? God, when he sees that heart, he speaks guidance into people's lives. And he begins to tell them, God sees the wrong direction that we may be going in because he's all-knowing. And he says, don't go that way. We listen to God's voice in everything that we do, from the minor to the majors in our lives. We need to do that. It keeps you on track. God provides this perspective that we don't have because God's eternal. Right now, you're not. Your spirit is. But right now, this flesh is decaying. And so God sees the very end of it, and you don't. God sees what's an hour from now, 5 minutes from now, and we don't have that ability. But the closer that we get to God's voice, we'll be with God, and it's going to be all right no matter what happens, right? Today, God's eternal. He sees forever. In 2 Corinthians, on the big board at the bottom, it says this, we walk by, not by. We celebrate the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, because they're the greatest basketball team that's ever been on the planet. Don't have any haters up in here, right? And if you're a hater on Facebook, we'll block you, amen, if you say something against the Spurs in the name of Jesus. Now we can't do that on that one, right? So when they first began their dynasty, they began to win. It was 1999. They went up against the Detroit Pistons. It was a 7-game series, you remember? No, it's a 7-game series. And, they won game 7. Incredible. And it was one of those things. I remember we barbecued and we had some neighbors over because it was going to be a celebration. And we were going to eat and we hoped that nobody was going to get sick by not the barbecue, but the victory. Amen. And so we counted on it. We prayed and fasted. No, we ate that day. So. Well, they won. And at the end of it, they had, you know, this commemorative DVD that you could order and all that stuff about their championship and their journey to get the trophy that they won. Well, you know, I saw it at Target, so I bought it. I didn't have to wait. Well, you know, I went to Target and they had them. And so we came home and we watched it and we were watching it. And so I'm not going to tell you who sat next to me on the couch, one of my family members that day. And, you know, they had won the championship. This was like 2 weeks later. Watching the DVD. And so we started watching them one by one. And we got to game 7, the pivotal game. Now, they had won already 2 weeks earlier. They had already done the River Parade thing. And they were celebrating Tony, Manu, Tim, and even David was on that team, right? And so that game 7's happening, DVD, we're watching it. And that person next to me starts getting real antsy because they're losing. And I'm going, yeah, it's going to be okay. Just watch a game, you know. I know what's going to happen. They're going to win, you know. But that person gets so uptight that I can't watch anymore. They go to the kitchen and start messing around and banging pots and stuff like that in the kitchen, disturbing my time. That had to be the devil, right? I go, would you just sit down? They're going to win. Right now they're not winning, but they're... And isn't that like the Lord? He says in your life, you're going to win. You may be losing right now in the fourth quarter. You may be down 10 points, but you're going to win. You're going to be okay because I read the end of the book of your life, and it's redemption all the way. There's peace, there's healing, there's wholeness all the way. Somebody ought to be shouting right now, the God that we serve is a good God. And he wrote the end of your story, and it's a story of redemption, and the Spurs win. Give me a good amen, right, everybody? God speaks in loud ways. He speaks in the thunder, he speaks in the fire, and he speaks in the lightning. But most of the time, when he speaks to us, he speaks in a gentle voice, a whisper, because God is that way. He wants to get our attention. He wants us to lean in. What'd you say? I said this to you, and I need you to, you know, and you, I got, turn it up, man. I got to hear it, right? So you lean in and you change your posture to it. The whisper of God. There was this powerful prophet in the Old Testament. His name's Elijah. He did incredible things for God. One of the most incredible things that he did is that he fought 800 demon-possessed Baal worshiping curandera witch doctors, and he killed them all. Killed them all. You talk about something in Gladiator. Yeah, you can clap. That's a we clap for anything at Living Faith, right, everybody? It's like you talk about a Schwarzenegger thing walking in, a Rambo thing. This guy killed 800 demon-possessed Baal worshipers. And when he killed them, he said, "I'll be back." No, he didn't say that. The queen found out about it, Jezebel, and Jezebel put a hit on him. Imagine the White House or a dictator of a country putting it, they're going to find you. And so Elijah goes, and after this great feat, after hearing from God, killing, doing God's work, he goes and hides out in a cave. And spiritual heights sometimes and victories in life's moments of greatest things, sometimes when we get there, we find out, wow, why am I so depressed? Because he was depleted physically, spiritually, and nothing was pouring into him anymore. And he needs to hear from God. And so God shows up in this way, and we've been using this as our theme scripture, but I wanted to unpack it that way. Watch the word that God gives this man and how personal it is and how he has to lean in, because what's about to happen with full senses and him seeing. God, the Lord said, go out, so come out of that cave. They're not hunting for you right now. I'm gonna protect you right now. And stand on the mountain, the presence of the Lord, as the Lord passes by. Now I'm going to come by, and this is how mighty I am. And so I can see Elijah's in the cleft of the rock, still protected right there in the shadow of the cave, and he's watching this just amazing thing. Hollywood couldn't have even done this the way it was produced by the Lord. And he says, the great and powerful wind tore, which was God, tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the... And after the wind came the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the... And after the earthquake came the fire. But the Lord was not in the... Now you say it like this, fire! Yeah, it was in the fire, man. And after the fire came the gentle whisper, the still small voice. When God began to download and tell Elijah next what happened, you can read about it. It's an incredible story. Do it as a devotional tonight. He begins to tell him, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to affect three important relationships in your life, so much so that they're going to be generational blessings. I'm going to speak to a generation through your mouth. You're going to affect three men, and they're going to carry a generation through their life with purpose. My purpose is on the earth, and I'm going to provide for you in that sense. I'm also, in that third part, I'm going to give you somebody that's going to, your son in the Lord, that's going to do the work that's going to further what you've done. So you're not finished yet. You got to be a father now in the Lord. You see how important it is to hear God beyond the noise, beyond the clutter of life, that you would lean into him and hear the... Because God, when he speaks, when God has spoken to us in this room, I can guarantee you it's been probably through a whisper. The most significant things in your life are when you've leaned into God and heard his voice for direction, right? They've been important in your life. You're no different than me. So one whisper from God is more powerful than an earthquake. Amen? One whisper from God is more powerful than a million voices on this earth giving you directions or whatever it might be, or counsel. We hear from God. One moment in the presence of God, one whisper from God right now can change the whole atmosphere in your life, as it did a moment ago in worship. Right, everybody? That's why private devotions are so important today. Church is great, but get church on Sunday, on Monday morning when you walk away and you hear from God even tonight. I want you to learn these three principles that I'm about to give you. Learn to hear the whisper of God for your life. As a young person, hear the whisper of God. It will save you 10 years. It might save you a marriage. It might save you a destiny of what you want to do. And you want to do it right. Amen. That's why you're hearing God's word today. Number one is this. Hear the whisper. Somebody say encouragement. Yeah. God encourages us all day long. All day long, God's encouraging you. Because you know why? Because all day long, the enemy, ourselves, our own voices, other voices, they're trying to discourage us. You wake up with bad news. You hear bad news as you get the text. Something happened. Amen. Just like I told you, the worst 2 weeks of my life can climb up there with you. And all of us have those weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. Well, God's still going to be with us. God wants to encourage you beyond the bad news today. As you sit at the table across, or you hear the doctor's voice, or whatever it might be, God's voice over his children are good. He has something good to say to you. I love you. I have a plan for you. You're not done yet, right, everybody? Look at what Paul the Apostle said about the encouraging voice of the Lord. The Holy Spirit speaks deep in our hearts. That's something powerful, right? Because it's so deep, the world can't get it. Nobody can take it away from me. I got a word from God this morning, right, everybody? That's what you have. You're going to get it. And he tells us, look what he tells, not something about the apocalypse or the end of the world. He tells us that we're his children, and that's enough, right? God says, hey, you're my familia. You're my family today, amen? Pay close attention to this. God keeps a covenant. And a contract would say, hey, sign this right here. As long as I make payments, I'm going to keep the house, right?
Yep.
And you do your part, amen? Just in case, you know, you're going to hold it until I pay it off in 30 years. Yeah, sign it. I'm gonna make the payments. God's covenant is so different because it's not a contract, it's a covenant. And God would say, you know what? You didn't do your part, but I still love you. Listen, you messed up last night, and I still love you. Just sign. You're my child. Aren't you glad you serve a God that way?
Amen.
He saw us. He saw us even before we bought into this. Now, God doesn't like that because he's a father, but God still loves you. Even when sometimes I don't listen to God. It takes me like four times, maybe five times, or maybe he's waiting, but God still loves me. He has a covenant in my life that he's still going to redeem me. There's still hope for my life. How about you today, right? He announces over you this morning, you're my child, you're mine today. I bought you today with a price. The heart of a father, I love you today. Amen. I'm so proud of you. Even when I don't do what I should do, yeah, God, see, God sees beyond your mess up. He sees you as a world changer. He sees you as you should become and what you should be about. Right, everybody? Let's look at two. Somebody say, he whispers direction. Hey, whisper to your neighbor direction. Just whisper. Now, second choice, you can shout at them because you didn't want to do them anyway. Say direction, 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 baby. Amen. Nobody talk to you. I'll talk to you. Amen. Mean people. You need to make a decision about your career, about your relationships, about that major purchase. You're about to do something that's a major thing. Not buying a stick of gum. You're going to do. Have you asked God about that? Lord, how do you feel about this? Should we do this? Have you joined with your wife, your family? Have you asked God a powerful moment? Say, Lord, what should we do about our future? Give us direction. Give me guidance. You want God to keep you on track, right? You want to save those 5 years, right? It's a long time. He whispers warning. I'm going to give you some Christianese right now. You know what Christianese is? Not Chinese. It's Christianese is a language that only Christians understand. Hallelujah. Christianese is a language like, you ever hear that term that we Christians say, I got this check in my spirit. I'm not supposed to go there. How many ever heard that? I got checked. I'm not supposed to go there. And so over and over in the Bible, God gave people this check in their spirit. It was like, you know, doot, doot, doot. don't go there. It's an alarm went off, or a witness went off, like a nudge, a whisper went off. I got to check in my spirit. I'm not supposed to do that. Or I'm supposed to go forward. God told me this is the will of God, and I do it. It lines up with the word of God. I got godly counsel, and I did. What prevents me from hearing, I got this check sometimes. See, I'm this reactionary. I react before I think. And I do this stuff, and God's not even in it because I didn't check in with God. And I didn't say, God, I need your direction. I need your purpose in my life. And we don't pause to hear the whisper of the Lord, right, everybody? And we made mistakes, and God is with us. That's why we're here today. Amen. How would you treat a person that you had a personal relationship with that never took your advice? And it was good advice. Maybe it's a daughter, a son, in your life, and you keep giving them the good advice, but they're cabezudo, they're terca, they don't want to hear, they don't hear, and you're trying to tell them that. How would you treat a person like that? Most of us would give up, but most of us are parents in this room, and so we don't give up because we don't have that choice, right, everybody? That's the heart of God within you working even as a parent because God is for you. God's going to keep talking to you, but what I've noticed about God is the more I obey Him, the easier the road is for me. Even though, you know, the reason I have to, when I obey God, it's because something I shouldn't be doing or I'm about to go into it, right? That's when obedience comes in, right? When I'm doing right, it's God saying, yeah, that's right. I'm testifying. There's a peace about it. But there's peace about it when I do the right thing. I didn't want to do it, but God told me to do it. And now there's peace. It's a struggle at the beginning. It's a hard choice, but I still do it. And you want to be that sort of person that is in the atmosphere of God, that God is so close to you, you're following Him right after Him, that He's directing you and He's teaching you and you're obeying Him, that God keeps telling you, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. Don't let Him lift His hand from us today, amen? For some of us, we're hearing God's voice, don't do that, or in that secret thing that you're doing. That's why it's so important to be in a small group. Because if you get up right now and announce everything that you've been doing, that no one knows, it's a secret, it's going to be kind of psychotic of you, right? If that's the best word, whack. Don't do that. Okay? But if you get involved in a small group and you have that front lawn experience or that one-on-one talk and you say, this is what I've been going through. This is what I need to do. I needed to tell you about this. They're going to say something like this. You know what? I was faced with the same decision. I was just like that. But this is what God did in my life. And because you said that, God's going to cover you in this situation. And God's going to help you through. And you're going to, because of your obedience, God's going to heal you right now. Now, practically, you should probably get rid of the computer because you're involved in that. Or practically, you may need to get another job because she's not your wife or he's not your husband. But you need to do that today. You need to find somebody. And that's why a small group is so important. Right, everybody? And that's why I encourage you to be part of that today. Isaiah said this, and when he heard of just the direction of God and what to do. Isaiah 30:20. You haven't had any fun all day. Let's read it together on three. Everybody with their outside voice, right? Ready? On three. You ready? Back row? Amen? On three. One, two, three, go. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. The whisper of God is, it's a whisper. So when you're whispering, people really have to hear. And you're telling them, and they got to change their posture. What did you say? No, it's a whisper, so you got to lean in. I need to put my lips to your ear so you can hear what I'm saying. And it changes everything because you're having to lean in. And maybe that's where God wants you, leaning in to Him during the times that are so troublesome. There was this young minister, and he went to an older pastor that was seasoned in life. And he said, Pastor, I pray, but God doesn't answer. And the pastor answered him in a low, hush voice, talking to him. And the young man said, what? I can't hear you. And the pastor again answered him in a low, hush voice. And he said, what? He said, the pastor waved over to him to get closer. And the young man leaned in. And the pastor said this, sometimes God whispers so you can get close to Him. that young man needed to discover, just like we do and I do, is that you got to get close to God. God, he's interested in doing something in you before he'll do something through you. And I didn't say that. Somebody greater than me said that. I just copied it, and that's a good thing to copy, right, everybody? There's a funny story about the direction that God... There was this guy in a mental institution, and he has his ear to the wall, and he's listening intently. And the second day, the orderly comes by, and he sees this again. And the orderly says, "Hey, what are you listening to?" And he goes, "Shh." And he waves him over. And so, interested, you know, the orderly goes over and he puts his ear to the wall. And after 20 minutes, the orderly goes, "I don't hear anything." And so the guy says, "Yeah, it's been like that for 2 days." You'll get that at 3 a.m. Howard, did you get that? No, you didn't get that. No. Howard says, "Hey, your joke, you needed to tell it better." No. In Acts 20:22, Paul said, "Look, I'm compelled by the Spirit. I hear a voice, the voice of God. And I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't know what's about to happen to me there." I think that's not funny, because what happened to him was that's where he died. But he was obedient to God. And I don't want any hard things to happen to us like that, and I hope it doesn't. But he obeyed what God wanted him to do. There he wrote a letter, and we have it in our testament, the New Testament, because he was under house arrest. He did the will of God for his generation. Wherever God sends you, he will bless you. He will provide for you. Maybe the voice of God is do it now. Take the next step. Do what God's telling you to do. Years ago, God told me to slow down. I was a teenager, not a teenager, a little, or just right out of teen. See, I had a hand-me-down car, a hand-me-up car that they bought for me. My first car was a Ford Pinto, the kind that you'd want, and it blew up in the back. There's a YouTube, watch it, Pintos that blow up. It's all full of, on YouTube. And I drove around that Pinto. Well, then I drove the wheels off of it just probably in 2 years. I just didn't know. I didn't own it. My parents gave it to me, so I took care of it like they gave it to me, which was wrong of me. And, my first car, because I got this good job, I was able to make payment. I got this Camaro, Chevy Camaro, fast, man, burgundy Camaro. I told Rick Kiefer, I said, "Man, I used to get that Armor All on those seats, man, and I would just put Armor All over. People sat in it, they slid down, amen, it was that slid." True story. Shine up everything, amen, Armor All that thing, amen. Well, it was fast, and one day I was coming home late, and I was on 410. I won't tell you why I was late. I was just coming home late, and I knew I needed to get up to work the next day. I had a good job that was paying for the Camaro, so I had to get to work, right? It was incentive, and I was going fast because it would go fast. I was at least going 90 on 410, but it was like, don't say, you know, you've gone big holy thing, you. Preaching to the wrong church. Yeah. Anyway, so I was just being transparent, and I get all hurt now, right? So 20-something stupid, I was going night, and I kept hearing, "Slow down, slow down." And I know it was the voice of the Lord, because it was about, and "Slow down, slow down." And I was going, "No way, no way, no way." Well, right when I hit 410 in Broadway, just like midnight, there was this bad accident that had happened. So hill, and there's traffic backup. And as soon as I saw what was happening, I hit the brakes. But I slid, you know, I bumped this car that was stopped in front of me. Not a full head-on, thank God, amen. Thank God the brakes worked. And I bumped it hard enough. And when the police officer saw what was going on and trying to wave, he saw me, and he was looking at, and I was looking at him, you know, and when he saw me bump it, you know, the car, the bumper on the back, he just went like this to me, like, "You big idiot, you know, you were going so fast, you couldn't stop." And if I had listened to the voice of the Lord, slow down, and obeyed the traffic signs and obeyed the speed limit, because God speaks through those also, right? That's why he sets boundaries in our lives. Thou shalt not, because he loves you. They're not rules to take away your fun. They're rules that God would speak to you on. And if we're doing what God sets boundaries, we're safe, right, everybody? And thank God for that today, amen. The final point is this, that he whispers, somebody say dreams. I'm so thankful I had a dream to plant a church years ago, almost 20 years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago, I had a dream to plant a church. And if I wouldn't have obeyed those dreams with my bride and my two young children, I would have never met you. You would have never come into the realm. Thank God, amen. I got to be enriched and my life has changed eternally. The honor of my life is being a pastor. Did you know that? Because I listened to the voice of God and I listened to the whisper. It wasn't a mighty hurricane, earthquake. It was a whisper of God, and God blessed me. What I've seen now in the 20 years is I've seen these little kids that have like been shorter than me. Now they're taller than me. How did that happen, right? The generational blessings of God. If you stay at something long enough, you get blessed. If you don't quit, you stay blessed, because God keeps showing up in faithfulness and perseverance. Right, everybody? It's amazing. It's the blessing of our lives. Irma and I, we dream of touching our community with the love of God. And we're still at it. We're still going to go for it. Amen. God doesn't give up. We're not giving up. Right, everybody? So what's the dream of God for your life? Not the dream maybe that you have. A man in our church, it's a great man in our church. Before Christ came into his life, his dream was that he was going to be very, very rich. And that's a great dream. I don't thank God for abundance. But he knew that that wasn't the right source for his life. Now he wants to be wealthy so he can do world missions and he can provide and he can pay off debt and that sort of thing. That's the right motivation to be rich, isn't it? That you're a pipeline of God's blessing on his life, right, everybody? Yeah. And so God begins to speak to us again and again. And I'm so glad, amen, he speaks to us through vision. He speaks to us through dreams. And thank God for it. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17 on the screen. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. We're all the people, right, everybody? Notice the context. It's not during the heyday and it's the last days. And I would think, with all the confusion going on in 4,000 people approaching the border of the United States, and there are a people group that need the love of God, and there are hurting teenagers right next door to us, and there's the 7822 zip code needs a mission from God on it for a children's ministry that will be effective and touch lives. I think we're living in the last days, right, everybody? It says that during that time when people are looking for answers and needing help, at that very moment, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon it. That's when the answer is going to arrive, in the fourth quarter, the two-minute warning, right? God's not going to be late. And look who he's going to do it with. He's going to do it with the sons and daughters. They're going to prophesy to the generation. Amen? They're going to speak to a last-minute generation and say, there's hope. God can redeem. God can help you. And look what he'll do with our young men. Your young men, they're going to have a vision. Aren't you glad that you're still young? You still have a vision for your community. Linda, you still have a vision for a clothing closet in the name of Jesus. Right, everybody? Yeah, everybody. Yeah. We still have a vision to disciple people. And that we hand the baton to successfully. It says your old men, they're going to dream dreams. I think we're all old in this room because we're all dreaming. Right, everybody? But we stay young at heart. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Amen. And God is saying, I want you to go all in. Don't be a part-time Christian. Don't let this thing in on Sunday when you leave the church parking lot. Give God your best. You can make a difference today. Position yourself. Posture yourself so you can hear from God. Lean in today, right, everybody? So I'm saying at this very moment with you right now, speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I'm saying it with you. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Do I got to shout it? No, because God's not going to shout back. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Would you whisper that to the Lord? Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Are you saying it with me? Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. God is here, and there's nothing impossible for him right now. Speak to me, Lord. And the first thought about speaking is God is saying, and you're going to say back to him as God speaks, I'm open to hear. I'm open to hear. I'm going to listen to you, Lord. Powerful story of Samuel that we learned about last week. And Samuel, a 12-year-old boy, said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. He had the right posture, right, everybody? God doesn't need to shout. God needs us to lean in because he's speaking to us, right, everybody? Are you taking notes? Yeah? Even if you're not taking notes, take notes, right, everybody? Before there was GPS on our phones, and GPS with our whatever system that we plugged into our car lighters, there was a gas station that we would stop at. Not you men. You never did that, right? And you'd ask for directions. And you'd be lost, lost, lost. And I would ask for directions. I would pull in, you know, get service station. Hey, do you know where this is at? And they would give me directions like this. It was always this way. Okay, you go about 5 minutes down the road, and you're going to go underneath the underpass. You're not going to get on the highway. You're going to get underneath the underpass, and immediately at the underpass, you're going to make a right. And you're going to go down like 4.5 blocks, and at 4.5 blocks, you're going to make a left. And when you make a left right there, there's going to be this little driveway. There's not even a street sign, but go down that driveway. And when you go down that driveway, there it is. There's where you want to go. And I'd go, help me, Jesus, because I was a Christian. Help me, Jesus, how am I going to get there? And so I'd get in my car, and I swear they were related. The next guy, I would go into the gas station again. I'd go, hey, how do I get here? He'd go, okay, you're going to go down the underpass. Don't go on the underpass. Don't get on the overpass, but go down and make a right right there. You make a right, I'm going to give you a shortcut too. After you make that right, just pause. Stay right there. They would tell me stuff like that, and I would get, how am I ever going to get to the place? And sometimes, by the grace of God, there was somebody hearing all this conversation going forth, and they would be my savior. They would go, hey, I heard what's going on, and you know what? I live right next door to that place you're trying to go to. I'm getting gas right now. Would you just follow me? And I would keep my eye on that license plate because I knew I would get to my destination if I just followed that car, right? And that's the way it is with following Jesus. People are going to give you, you're going to hear also, but if you just follow Jesus, you're going to get to the place that you need to be. But you got to follow Jesus, and he'll make everything check out for you. I'm almost finished. In 1977, I heard the life-changing gospel of Jesus, that Jesus could save me. See, I was a great candidate for it. I wasn't a preacher. I was far from it. I was this 13-year-old kid that was shamed, that was a backward, you know the story, you're living faith life for some of you in this room, you rejection, and that was a nice part of it. I mean, I wasn't worth a nickel, honestly, and you say, oh, come on, and there was all this stuff going on in my family. I walked into a home that they invited me to this small group. I went to this home, and I sat in there, and I started hearing the love of God, that God did this. And you know what? I don't remember the Bible study so much, but I remember those people that loved on me, that family, because I came by myself. And I remember that I looked around and I thought this in my head. One day my family can be like this. That guy teaching, that father, that can be my dad. My dad didn't have to be an alcoholic. My dad didn't have to be being brought home by the police. I don't have to be embarrassed anymore about my family. My brother doesn't need to be involved in that situation. And my life can be different. And they told me that Christ Jesus could change my life. And back then, they would preach things like this, that if you don't receive Jesus, you're going straight to hell. And it would be real loud. You're going to hell, 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 hell. And they would keep saying it like that. It was almost like, whoa, I don't want to go to hell. So to receive Christ was, you're going to get a ticket out of hell, but you're going to get a new life. And I go, where do I sign up? Yeah, I'll do that. It's better than the life I have. Yeah, I'll definitely do that. And I signed up, and I said the prayer, and Jesus came into my life. Amen. And you know what he's done in my life? He's redeemed me. He's saved me. He's given me a message to preach. He's removed the shame. You know, did it happen immediately for some of it? But some of it has been just chopped off and molded off. And God has healed me in the process, just like he's done all of us in this room that has received Christ. That was way back in 1977. And God is still working and God is still doing something in my life. And he's changing my life. That was the whisper of God. No significant. Receive me and I'll change your life. That was a whisper. It wasn't a shout. This past summer, 2018 now, we're with our teenagers on a mission trip. We're serving a colonia there on the border, Donna, Texas. Some of our young people that are here, we went, and some of our chaperones were there with us. And we're doing this kind of this last thing that we're doing as an outreach. And here's what when God whispers to me again, and he brings me back all the way back to 1977. Are y'all still with me? Can I tell this story? You know what it's going to, I'm going to do it anyway, so you might as well hang with me. We got one more fill in the blank. And after that fill in the blank, not yet. After that fill in the blank, we're going to shout, hallelujah, he's finished, amen. And so we're serving the kids of the colonia and their families because they got to bring mom and dad. And they're giving them groceries. And they set up, they have this colonia church. It has AC. It's nice. They built it. They've made it in this place that there's just poverty and they need the love of God. They built this nice church, and the community knows of that. And so they go. We're doing this outreach with the people that we stayed on the mission base with, and we're giving groceries away. And so it's AC, and our teenagers have done these skits, and it's great. Well, we're waiting for the kids now that are going to come get groceries with the family. And so there we are, and I said, you know, I'm going to go outside because there was a few of us outside underneath this canopy. It's hot. It's summertime. And the families are doing this in such an organized way. This is the way they do it. They're on the mission base. We're complying with them. The families have to line up because if they get too many families in there, there's confusion as they go get their groceries and load them full of the blessings of God that they brought into the church. And as the children line up that are with their family, you know, I'm trying to welcome them because I'm there with the other group of ministers and we're trying to welcome them, but when I look into the children's eyes, this is what's heartbreaking. The kids look at me like, I don't want to be here. I want to get the groceries, but I'm so ashamed that we're in this line. I read that in their eyes. And there's pain in their eyes. And the Lord brings me back all the way back. Not that I was in that same state, but he brings me back to identify, that was you. Remember? Remember in 1977 when you were ashamed? You were hurting? And you never stood in a line like that, Mario. But you know that your life was just that way. And what had happened... Thank God I never had to stand in a line for groceries. But the nudge of God was there. I wish I could have... taken away all that shame from each child that was in that line. But I could identify with their pain for that moment. And that's what Jesus does. He says, listen to me, and then follow me by responding. So I have to be eager to respond to the voice of God today. I listen, and we follow Jesus today. Because Jesus said, my sheep listened to my voice, and I heard the whisper of God, and I knew I was in the will of God at that very moment. And I know them, and they follow me. 2,000 years ago, Jesus called these guys that were shameful, confused, didn't have any hope. They were stinky. They cussed a whole bunch. And Jesus, through those men, changed the whole world upside down because they followed Jesus. And God will do the same with a 13-year-old kid. God will do the same with anyone in this room if you'll just follow Jesus. You'll change the world, amen? You'll do things that you won't believe that God will do into you, amen? And you say, I'm not worth anything. Neither was I. Look what God did. He bought us with a great price. The reason why I weep, amen, is because God's been better than good to me. How about you today? Amen. Let's bless the Lord. God, you've been good to us. You've blessed us beyond measure. You've given me something, God. You know, I thought this week, God, I would have never met my wife, Irma, if I would have never followed you. Because I would have never been in church to see her with that raven black hair. There she is, my wife. She didn't know she was my next wife. I said, there's my wife. Amen. I claimed her. Amen. You name it and claim it. Y'all do that? Yeah? And I had to make you laugh. Amen. I got to laugh too. Boy, sorry to put you through that. I make ugly faces when I cry, right, everybody? My son, Andrew Nava, who hopefully watches this. Andrew, you inherited my ugly face because I seen you cry too. Amen. Rebecca makes fun of him when he cries. She's a mean sister, isn't she? Let's pray. Amen. Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this holy time, Lord. Thank you, Father. We hear the whisper of your Spirit today. You're a speaking God. And so God's so good to you right now. He's going to encourage you. Hear him say that. I love you. You're going to make it. He's telling you that right now. He loves you. You're in this atmosphere right now. Good things are going to happen to you today. Amen. This week, this season, God has a plan for your life. God's going to whisper direction right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're checking somebody right now. Don't do that. Or proceed. Maybe it's a green light thing. You need to do it. You need to get involved in the things that God's told you to do. Give your people guidance and this, whisper it, Lord. Tell them how much you love them and care for them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As I continue to pray, God's a gentleman, and he never forces anything down your throat. What God will do, he'll whisper because he loves you in the intimacy. And he's telling you right now, change your life. Repent. Get close to me. Say yes to me. And because he wants to give you something better, like he did my life, like he did many of us in this room. And you're here not by accident. You're here because at that moment, right now, you're far away from God. And you're a prayer away of being very close. And that's why you're feeling what you're feeling right now. Those that are watching on Facebook, you're feeling what you're feeling right now because God wants to come near. And if that's you right now, we're not going to embarrass you. In the sanctuary here at Living Faith Church, I just want to note your hand and say, that's me. Pray for me. I need God right now. I'm far away. I need Jesus. I've never received him as Savior. If that's you in this moment, would you lift your hand slightly and say, remember me right now. I'm just looking. I'm making sure. I see a hand. Yes, you can put it down, beloved, on this side. Someone else making sure, just making sure. You've never said yes to Christ. You're far away. You need to come close to him. Anyone? Yeah. For my sister, I believe, that lifted her hand, I'm going to pray a prayer. We're sinners that are saved by grace in this room. All the sinners that are saved by grace right now, let's pray this prayer together. And my sister that lifted your hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your ear also. Say this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, hear my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, your blood washes away my sins. At this very moment, I confess Christ. He's my Savior. And not only that, he's my Lord. Take control, Jesus, of my life. Thank you, Lord. I surrender all. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Come on. Bless them. Yeah. New life at Living Faith. I know some received on the internet. We bless you right now. We thank the Lord for you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. There's a connection card in front of you. We had several last week. We want to make sure that we pray for you if there's a need, as it said in our announcement time. If you're raising your hand, maybe growing in faith should be part of your life today, amen. A couple of the men that attended the Man Up Summit yesterday,